Hey guys, welcome back to Cuenta Cuenta Podcast. This is Angela.
It's your girl Tessa.
What's up guys, it's Ed.
And this is KP.
So Edwin cannot join us today. He is working at Papaya King.
He is the Papaya King.
Hey.
That's New Year's resolution.
We have a very special guest. He is an aspiring actor-writer. He is, and I quote, slowly discovering his Filipino heritage that he was exposed to via his family growing up in Woodside, Queens. Shout out to all my Queens people. As a young man, he spent more time with the West Indian and Latino culture from his best friends. He recently moved to LA, where he is constantly surprised at his ignorance and lack of knowledge of the place his parents were born and the amount of Filipinos there are in LA.
Yes. My bad.
He strives to become a leading man, change that lens, and explore what he knew growing up to be as the colored Asians, or sometimes known today as the Latinos of the East. Here is John Peter Cruz.
Hey.
What's up? Oh, we got a lot to talk about. Finally, another West Coaster, man. When'd you move over? I was about to say, your background doesn't look like a New York apartment or anything.
This is probably the only spot in my apartment that looks decent, so I just try to, like, you know,
there you go.
But I officially moved at the end of April of this year. I rode my motorcycle catch me, as you should. But last year, April, I officially moved. Before that, the year before that, I rode my bike from New York to Cali, and I tried to set up shop here. I lived in Mid-City for about a month through Airbnb, looking for apartments and what have you. But I finally settled in end of April of 2022.
That's cool.
Tessa, you might recognize John Peter because Tessa's the only one who's seen our film Quarantine, actually. He played Pastor Tim.
I'm just in the film. Are you in the film?
I love that.
Oh, I'm Tito Boy, dude. I'm Tito Boy.
Yeah, it's great. I want to see it. That's something I also want to be very thankful for, Angela, because, you know, I never got to thank you personally, but I really appreciate everything you did, casting me, putting me on. And even having that IMDb credit aside from the experience and playing that role and working with y'all, it was just, you know, that helps a lot to just solidify the legitimacy of a career and so on and so forth. So thank you for that. Thank you. But I still haven't seen it. Excited to see it, and congrats on the win. So that's awesome too. Make sure you get your flowers.
That was actually, I think, my favorite scene from the film.
You're such a good liar.
I'm serious. I remember I told Angela, like, back me up on this. Remember, I was like, I saw this and I was like, who was that? What was that scene? Like that.
Who's that doggy Filipino on the
top? I wish.
I love that segment. Like the whole, that was like a very deep segment. And I remember when because our scenes in the film, mine and KP's, are a lot more like lighthearted. So I didn't realize how like deep like Angela went with this. And I was like, I really like liked that whole segment of the film.
I appreciate it.
Generally said, like with your scene with Carrie, like in the park on the bench. He really did say like that was like a really good scene.
Oh well that's great, because I thought I butchered it. I'm like, oh no, Angela's gonna hate me. They're gonna have to find some other, you know, cut to another different part.
Extremely poggy Filipino leading man. I'm trying to talk you up, bro.
No. I appreciate it, but I don't believe it. You're a good actor too, because I know you're doing that. But no, I had a great time, you know, with that role with y'all. And I was actually able to play a pastor recently, and I just recalled being in your film, and I was like, oh wow. And I got a great compliment, because after the fact, somebody said, oh hey, they spoke to the person that cast me and the director writer, and she said that somebody in the congregation actually asked, oh, is that dude, is he a pastor? Is he really a pastor? So that made me feel really good, because if somebody actually really believed it and it didn't seem like I was portraying a role so much, I think that was the greatest compliment, you know. But Aww. Yeah. KP, are you still pursuing that?
I am. What,
You are. So are you almost done?
I'm in my second. No, actually, my second quarter. So I have a ways to go. I'm taking a couple classes right now. They're actually pretty dope. I'm taking one psych class because we have a school of psychology.
Okay.
Also within the seminary. So I'm taking one psych class. It's just beginning psych, so I'm not like going deeply Freudian or anything, but like we're taking that class. Another one's called Living Missiologically. Because our school doesn't like it. I don't want to say it doesn't believe in missionaries, but it has a new idea of just like, well, why do we need to send people out when we can just be the missionary wherever we are? So it's like, so it has a different kind of theological grasp of what a missionary is. So yeah, I'm taking that class too.
So, but you said quarter. So when is that actually done? Like how much?
It's supposed to be a 2-year program, but we'll see. I'm shooting for 2 years, man. I'm shooting for 2 years.
Whatever you complete is when you complete it. That's it. That's it. As long as you get it done, right?
All right. Yeah. Hey, that's true. That's true. All right. I'm going to ask some questions about you because I don't know you. So that would make sense till I get to know you.
Cool.
Okay. This is just, I'm going to start with the LA questions because,
Get it. Let's do it.
Yeah. Forget the bio. Like I'm going to put that in the side for a second. I just want to know
sure.
So what parts of LA are you currently in? And I do want to ask this, might get into the bio. Like what kind of Filipino American like groups have you been in contact with like while you've been here? Because we might know the same people.
Oh, so I doubt that only because I'm very like recluse, to myself. So my whole motivation of coming here is to kind of keep my head down and just try to propel my career or progress it somewhere forward. So I said, you know what, let me just move to LA. I don't know nobody. Keep my head down. Let me just work. No distractions. I feel very guilty when I say no to like friends and family. I want to chill. I want to hang out. I love being around like people I love. And then when I say no, and then I stay home, I don't do the work anyway, because I'm like just thinking, oh, I should be chilling and I should be hanging out with everybody. And it's like, oh, well, you should have just done that. But so I came here. I Mid-City was the first place, like I said, is where I first settled. But before that, I did an Airbnb and it was in Van Nuys. And the woman I stayed with, Filipino woman. Filipino, I was like, I had no idea. So.
Oh, is that the story? Is this the story?
No. No. It would have been no. That's not.
Angela, take notes. That's actually a really good. That's. Oh man, that's a good. We're all like me, Angela, all about story. That's a good. That's a good way to like start like a rom com right there. That's like go on like, just stay. It sounds like staying. It sounds like a Hallmark movie. I go.
So right, I'm just staying for a couple of days. Airbnb, and then all of a sudden we fall in love. This. There was a daughter there, but it's just weird. I'm not gonna like try to or. Either way, no, but she was very nice, very
that's everybody a different was hospitable,
that sort of thing, but very, very welcoming. Then I go to the church there, and it's all Filipinos, and I just think, you know, I'm thinking Cali, because, you know, I grew up on the East Coast, and yeah, there's Filipinos, Filipinos go to California, and I think it's just like Queens, all right, there's going to be pockets of Filipinos, so on and so forth. So when I go to the Airbnb, and then it's just that, I'm like, all right, that's just a coincidence. Maybe it's just this Van Nuys area. Then when I finally moved to, I guess they call it Valley Glen, but I guess it's Van Nuys anyway. Then I go to the church here and the priest is Filipino. And to me, that's like, oh, like, how could that be? Like, how is there a Filipino priest? Like, there's no way. Like, I don't know. In any of my lifetime, I've never come across a Filipino priest unless it's in the Philippines or whatever. And everybody's like either Latino or a different culture or like Irish or at least in the Roman Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
Never noticed that there was a Filipino. So that person's Filipino. And then a lot of the different stores. And then just every doctor, like at the veterans, at the VA, they're all Filipino. I don't know. Everyone's Filipino. But no, to KP, to your point, I haven't really hung out or chilled with Filipino people. But that's also that's cool. Just in general.
I'm gonna give you a little like inside joke to when you said Van Nuys. You're just like, yeah, I wasn't looking for Filipinos, then I went to Van Nuys. And then I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, dude, like you like that's such an unlucky shot because that is really? Like it's a like Filipinos is one of the like especially within the valley, that's the Filipino hub.
Oh, that's just so, the city. It was Panorama City. Is that the same thing?
I'm telling you. Yeah, it's the same. Like Van Nuys, that Van Nuys area right there between, I forget the other cross street, but Roscoe. And you probably know because that's where like the Seafood City, Island Pacific, that's where all that Filipino stuff is and the Panorama Mall.
Right,
all the Filipinos just live around there, man. So like you shot, like you had the most unlucky shot with just like, I just want to go and just like, and then you shot like, the only other ways would be like, if you had like an Airbnb in like freaking like West Covina or like Cerritos Carson, like
that's Filipino areas as well.
Those are Filipino areas. And then you shot, yeah, the Valley. So the Valley area you shot, you could have been anywhere. You could have been like, I went to Northridge, I went to Burbank, but no, you shot like right at the, you shot dead center.
I guess like without trying. It's calling me. I don't know. I got to get to my roots, you know, I got to discover it.
Anyway.
How'd you get involved, Tessa? How do you know, how did you meet them?
I was a guest at one point. Angela and I actually did a play in New York. Mm. And we did not talk at all during the duration of rehearsal period or anything. But the very last day, I saw her parents in the cast or in the audience. And I turned to her. I was like, are you Filipino? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, oh, my God, I am too. And I'm mestiza. So that's typically how it happens. Like, I'm the one that's like, are you Filipino? Because like a lot of, I don't know, it's sometimes you can tell, but also it throws people off. So then she was like, yeah. And then we exchanged Instagrams. And I think I reached out to you because you were like, I need podcast guests. And I was like, I'm free as a baby bumblebee. Like, do you want it?
Are baby bumblebees free?
They're very free.
Oh, okay. I did not know that.
Of course they are.
All right. Does anybody? Go ahead, Kevin.
No, it's fine. I was going to say something stupid.
Let's hear it.
No, I was gonna say, are they really free? Like, should you free a baby bumblebee? Like I'm just not gonna let my like nephew just walk around the street. I'm like, you're free. I'm like, nah, this. Look, it's not that funny.
Circle of life. It's Mother Nature.
Dang.
You need to get so, with it.
I feel like she's like in survival of the fittest. So she's kind of like.
Well, interesting fact about bees. So like the female. Like, have you ever seen female bees kick out the male bees from the hive? Because male bees are...
Yes, his name was Jay-Z.
But up,
that was good.
But male
bees... He was ready for that one.
They literally drag the male bee out of the hive. And then because the male bee doesn't know how to find food for itself or whatever, it just freezes in the winter and it dies of starvation.
Hot dang, stop talking bad about Jay-Z, dude.
Wait, why do they do that?
Because male bees, they're not useful. They don't get food. They don't protect.
I feel attacked.
I know. Is just that men in general? Is there some analogy that
male?
I feel out? so like I feel attacked. This is a feminism podcast.
It's like weaponized incompetence really backfired for the bees. Like,
oh dang!
What did you watch on like National Geographic?
What if the bee's just trying to work? You know, what if the bee's just trying to like, you know, he's trying to get his
male
bees. You gotta give the bee some time.
Male bees don't work at all. They just
what's their purpose then?
Yeah, what do they do?
Dang.
Oh, nothing. That's why they literally drag the male bees out of the
house. I don't know if I believe that's true. I feel like I gotta research that. They gotta have some sort of
Me and John feel attack. We're just like, no, male like bees.
The male bees don't make honey.
No.
Oh my goodness.
No.
What a I love that honey is a feminine product.
It is.
It
is
a female empowerment right there. I'm gonna eat so much honey. Guys,
the video of the female bees.
Please.
And I know that the majority of our listeners are male, but
are they really?
A nature fact.
Why?
To my male bees out there. No.
No,
don't listen to them queen bees.
Change your sheets. If we have a male audience, change your bed sheets, not just your pillowcase. Go change your bed sheets today.
Oh, I feel like there's a story behind that. Where?
Oh, there's just so much. I don't know what's going on anymore.
There's something that sounds deep rooted about the bed sheets.
Tessa. Okay, so let me ask you guys, how often do you guys change your bed sheets?
Change. What is that? I'll wait till they die and then I just buy new.
Just kidding. I try to do two weeks. Okay, it's not as religious. No. 2 weeks or every other laundry day.
Okay,
that's you try.
So reasonable. Yeah, try.
You're doing great. Okay. You have try. So many Quinto Quinto approval thumbs up here.
Look, the girl said, no, no. This fool, he's capping right now because he says, I tried 2 weeks. You know what guys really do? They wait until they're just like, okay, oh man, this is going to be like, I'm sorry, fellas, but this is what we really do. We wait until just like, man, like, why does it feel so uncomfortable? Why am I back so itchy? And they're like, let me try changing my sheets. and then you wash them and you're like, that's better.
I think if my like, face breaks out, I'll do that right away.
Right? It's like there's something wrong with my face. I'm like, when's the last time I changed my sheets? That's why. Or something else would be like, or it's like, why do your sheets smell like a homeless guy? And like, and then you change it, right? 2 weeks. You try 2 weeks. No,
2 weeks. I think I was exaggerating. It's every other wash. So that could be 2 weeks. That could be 4 weeks.
You don't got a cap with me, bro. I'm just kidding. I'll get it.
Yeah, depends on what I do.
Totally kidding. Yeah.
Right before, okay, like, honestly, I do the ad.
I'm a super bachelor, man. So I'm keeping it really real. We're just like, some of the guys are just like, I don't know, sheets, like. Our guy listeners right now, I kid you not, are like thinking right now, it's like, when was the last time? And then they look and I'm like, my sheets have transformers on them, so I might need to change them out. To look and I'm like, Star Wars sheets. I'm like, oh, I probably need to change to.
But Tessa, what's the backstory? Because I feel like you had to tell somebody this.
I feel like. Well, so my boyfriend recently moved in, right? And then I was having him, we were doing laundry or something. And the way it works for us, we don't have like in-unit washer dryer, right? So we bought this little like portable, like camping one. A lot of like new, and I live on a 6th floor walk up New York. So I was like, I'm not about to take all my laundry down. And even if like, it's not that much, I always am nervous that I'm going to drop it in a puddle, right as I'm about to get into the door. So I'm like, not going to risk it, this or that, whatever. So then I don't know, like we were doing laundry and I was like, hey, like, help me take the sheets off the bed. And he was like, what? Why? And I was like, what?
Yes. See, your boyfriend's not capping at all. He's just like, take them off now. I'm like,
he knows now.
I mean, us male bees, we don't know how to do anything. We can't change,
right? Yeah.
This is a more generic bedding question. I think it's more generational. But do you use a top sheet? That's another question. Do you use a top sheet?
That's extra. Top sheet.
To like when I'm like making my bed, I would put it over my pillows just so it doesn't get dirty throughout the day. You know,
it's a lot. If I was living with a woman, maybe she had it, but me personally, no, it's a lot of extra work. I mean, I just recently was exposed to a pillow topper. I mean, I don't have that now. Back in New York, and oh, what? I feel like I'm at a hotel, but nah, no. One sheet, maybe a comforter, but nah. Y'all do top sheets? You don't do a top sheet, KP.
Cheap pillow blanket, bro. That's it.
That's it. Like,
what else is there? They get the bed skirt. I don't do another bed skirt.
You can.
No, I got. I don't have a comforter. I got the Mexicana.
What's that?
The blanket. The Mexican blanket, man. You know those like really thick blankets with like the lion. I'm gonna show you right now.
Yeah, there you go. Pick it up. I want to see what that's about.
Right here.
That's
the stuff I use right there.
That counts as a comforter.
When was the last time you washed it, Katie?
Yeah, and you know you have a good one when there's like a lion, or there's like a lion, or like some kind of animal, like an eagle, or if there's like an Aztec warrior carrying like a half naked. You know what I'm talking about? That's how you know you have a blanket. No, you gotta go to a swap meet one day, and then you just look, and you just look at the blankets, and it's always gonna be an animal, usually a lion, or it's gonna be like that Aztec warrior with like stuff on his head, and he's just like carrying bare chested, and then for some reason he's carrying like a half naked woman who looks dead in his arms for some reason. I don't know why. I like.
Of course.
No, but I'm gonna show you. I'm gonna show you. You don't believe me? I'll show you. Hold up.
I do believe you. But Angela asked a question. I don't know if you heard it because you took off your headphones. But
Yeah.
When was the last time you watched that?
Oh, that's a good. Yep.
When I got back from my trip.
Oh, so you did. Oh, so he did. All right.
Okay. All right.
Before that, I'd rather not tell you.
Yeah. It's like when I got it. When I got it.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Do you guys wash, like when you buy new clothes, do you wash it before you wear it, or do you just wear it?
Well, that's a good question.
It depends on what.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's something you would and what's something you wouldn't?
Maybe like I wouldn't wash a sweater if I have like a shirt underneath it or something.
Okay.
Yeah. Also, like I have like, I don't know if this is a Filipino thing or just my parents thing, but they always, every time I have like something new, they always want me to wear it to church first.
They wanted blessings.
Oh, that's so true.
I found the video of the female bees kicking out the male bees. You want to watch?
Oh, I want to see it. I want to see it.
I do want to see it.
The males have this bigger butt. So this is the male bee.
I can just hear Beyonce's like, what's that with like?
He's like,
here we go in the box to the left.
He doesn't know what's about to happen to him. He's just chilling.
You just don't know about me. You just not know about me. I can get another you in a minute.
They need backup.
Like, he'll be here in a minute. Yeah, look at this boy saying, like, don't kick him out. Hey, don't you kick him out, my boy.
Here they go. They're like,
there you go.
Stay here.
In fact, he'll be here in a minute.
This baby is very Mormon of the bees.
He dies.
Oh, dang.
And they like get back up too. They're like, you don't want to leave, bro.
Dude.
Wow.
I accidentally fell onto a bee stinger about a month ago. Ooh. It was really unfortunate. And the bee was dead. So
how do you know that happened?
Cause I was roller skating. And it wasn't a bad fall. It's just kind of like I tripped and like I took a knee. So it's like when you take a knee, you get down and you kind of just put your hand out. And as I was taking the knee, I felt like I didn't scrape my hand again. Like there was no blood, nothing. Like I knew, and I didn't twist anyway. It was like I purposely took a knee. So I was doing proper technique. So nothing should have hurt.
Right.
So then I got up and my finger was like, it felt like it was on fire. And I was like, why does it feel like this? So I looked, there wasn't any, no bruising, nothing. And then I looked down to where I put my hand and I saw a dead bee. And I was like, so I immediately Googled. I was like, can you get stung by a dead bee? And yes, you can. Like if the stinger is still attached, like you can still get stung, which I was like, what an unfortunate hand placement. But it was fun. I hadn't been stung in like 15 years prior, so that was wild.
I feel like
that's a metaphor for something. It's like, you know, they can be dead to you, but you can still get stung by them. Very psychological.
I get to ask John a question now. You both asked. Okay,
you just so, taking his tea. Look at that. Love it.
It is tea. How'd you know? It is tea.
Throwing it out. It's cold. Tea? It was cold in that.
Well, it could have been coffee, but
for babies, it's all 70 degrees, isn't it? Okay. So, John, you moved out to LA to pursue acting. Is it acting specifically, or is it just like being a part of the entertainment, being part of the film industry? Because I think most of us on the pod are, as Angela said, creatives, but also artists in like a variety of different aspects. So just want to see if like acting is your main passion. That's like what you, it seems like you're being like super, super strict and serious, like moving out there without knowing anyone. So going full force on that, or if there's other aspects of the entertainment industry that you like want to explore or open to while you're out there.
That's a great question. It's also
a journalism major.
just so I know, but yeah, it's great that all of you are multi-hyphenate or pursue other parts, but me particularly, it's just an acting thing. But during the pandemic,
nice.
You know, acting is such a challenging business to try to break through, and I subscribed to Masterclass. I don't know if you're familiar with the Masterclass online stuff or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So during the pandemic, you know, I'm by my lonesome. I'm dolo. I'm by myself. And I said, you know, if I want to try to propel my career forward somewhere while I have this time, what can I do? Mm-hmm. And I was watching a Shonda Rhimes one and then a Issa Rae, mm-hmm. and they're talking about, you know, writing. I know, Angela, you recently wrote a book as well. But I said, you know what, let me try to write something. So now I'm at UCLA Extension. I'm a full-time student there and I'm pursuing writing. Thank you, I appreciate it. And seeing that stuff on the writing side, it's something I'm exploring now. So I'm open to it. Whatever hits, right? Whatever hits. In that case, I would love either which way it to go, but generally speaking, actor first and then writing second. But it might come to a point where it's writing first, acting second, depending on what the market or the industry is willing to see me as or take me.
I'm curious, what do you write?
No, I think you're gonna ask what I was gonna ask, yeah.
Oh man, so the first thing I wrote was an original pilot. It was an original pilot. It's just about like friendships and things like that. I got coverage on it and I still haven't, you know, notes on the actual pilot to see whether it's good and things that could be changed, but I still haven't read it yet. But then I'm writing a feature film, like a period piece that has to do with like Filipinos. I was inspired by this thing I saw on PBS, but I don't know if you are familiar, but in the 1920s, Filipinos were asparagus farm workers or whatever the case is. So I was writing like this romantic movie with interracial kind of undertones and things like that, slash thriller, all of that. But it's just a lot of different things that I kind of find inspiration for. So yeah, I don't know if that answers your question. Yeah, just screaming.
That's really cool. I would love to see a Filipino period piece.
I would too. I think, you know, to get us more representation, I was thinking about, like, I don't know who all of yours are, who's the first Filipino actor or artist that you were aware of maybe in your childhood, but mine.
Rob Schneider.
No, Rob Schneider, really? Not even before
Rob Schneider is. Lance Longo, I guess.
Lance Longo, okay. What about La Bamba? Do you remember La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips?
But I didn't know he was Filipino until
really. I know, late. Yeah. What about Ernie Reyes?
Ernie Reyes Jr. Again, same thing. Didn't know he was Filipino until really late. Because they didn't really talk about it a lot. Like in the industry, very much was just like Filipino, you look more Hispanic. So right. Like Lou Diamond in particular, like he just kept getting those types of roles for the longest time. You can get like Native American roles to a certain point. I don't know if he is, but like, yeah, that was kind of like the drawback. So like the first person, I mean, Lea Salonga, not really actor, but like, yeah, but like performer.
Yeah.
And then like later after that, yeah, like it was weird that the first person that was like, oh, he's Filipino, because he would announce it, like Rob Schneider, and he'd even put it in his films. Like he's like, hey, look, there's like this little, I remember like, this big old male gigolo. Mm-hmm. Like there's a scene where like his dad was like, he's like a janitor at a fancy hotel. And then like his like love interest at the time says, we bought you this before we came here. It's bibinka. It's a Filipino thing. I was like, wait, why would you put bibinka in the film? Unless he's like, and then that's when I went, oh yeah, I guess he's Filipino.
Yeah. All these undercovers, or we don't know. I guess it's not broadcasted. Like you said,
I didn't know Harry was Filipino until someone told me. Her.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I thought you were trying to make a joke of me, dude. Most likely. Her. Anyways, her. Yeah. I didn't know her was Filipino. Yeah. And then, like, did you see, like, the new Beauty and the Beast, like, the 30th anniversary?
She is, right? She's the main, she's half.
Yeah.
Right?
So she's Belle.
Yeah. She's and then mixed. Yeah.
To make sure that, like, people knew that she was Filipino based. Because of course she's like what you call it, she's black appearing. Her father was John Briones, who's Filipino, so they made Maurice Filipino in the film, or not in the film, in the reenactment of the 30th anniversary. So they knew that, like, even though she's black appearing, she's part Filipino also.
Oh, I love that. I didn't know.
Yeah,
that.
You should see it. It's actually really fun. And she has a guitar solo in Tale as Old as Time, or whatever that song is. Yeah. So cool. She does a guitar solo. I was like, dude, she's pretty dope, man. Like I'm being introduced. I'm not cool, so I'm being introduced to her and like her music. And I was like, yeah, she's pretty dope.
Her and Zendaya were actually in a band together growing up. Yeah.
So like
I don't know.
Grunge band, cover band.
Okay.
I think they
marching, like marching.
No, I think it was like a performing band.
Rubber.
Nope, definitely not that one.
Mm-mm. Not Rubber Band. No, Uncle Joke. Okay.
Oh man.
Yeah.
On that note, I wanted to ask John. So you sent me in the email that you had like two stories, like that time you played in Philippines or that time you sent a self-tape in Tagalog. So
wait, yeah. What did I say the first one was? What did you say that? What did I tell you the first one was?
That you got to play a Filipino nurse.
Ah.
Did I get to play a Filipino nurse?
Isn't that called growing? That's just called growing up, right?
You know, it's crazy because I don't have anyone in my family that's a Filipino nurse. Are they in the medical industry or nurses?
Yeah, like most, yeah. Like at least probably a quarter of my family is either a nurse or a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And you're engineer, accountant, or works for the government, postal worker.
That's stereotypical.
I tease that like my parents are like they were the most stereotypical Filipino couple growing up because my mom was a nurse and my dad was a postal worker. I was like, those are the two definitive Filipino.
Oh, I didn't know postal worker was.
Postal worker is pretty popular. Engineer, definitely nurse. Nurse is like almost definitive.
Like the most one, yeah.
Now it's what they're like. Filipinos are like YouTube singers or graphic designers. That's the like what is it? Or they want to break into the industry. I'm sorry. I don't mean to sound like I'm attacking people, but that's like the new thing. Like Filipinos want. It's so funny because like our whole upbringing was like our parents always telling us, "Hey, go perform. Hey, go sing in front of." Like a lot of Filipino families had that whole like mentality of like go perform. And then when we go into like performing arts, they're like, "Why are you doing that? Why won't you be a nurse?" I was like, "You told me to perform all my life." And now when I want to make it a career, you're like, no, but we really just want you to do this and be. I was like, okay, whatever.
Is that the same for you, Angela? Oh, sorry.
No, go on.
And yeah. No, just.
Yeah. No. Oh, for me, like, I don't. So my family, we have a lot of people who are like off their hilters. So we have a lot of psychologists in the family. We have a lot of therapists.
Cool.
I don't think I have a family member who's a nurse though, which is strange.
Not even like an aunt, uncle, cousin.
Great aunt, great uncle. Mm. Yeah.
Cousin, I have a lot of cousin. Filipino friends who are nurses though.
My family had some dentists in there, but I don't think specifically nurse to my knowledge, or at least it's ever been brought up in conversation. So no. I actually never did get to play a nurse. I think I might have wrote that wrong. I was sending in a tape for a nurse, but my middle name is Lapu-Lapu. Are you all familiar?
That's pretty dope.
I'm not. Yeah.
It's like your middle name being Batman.
Really?
Yeah.
But it's also fish. It's also fish. So it wasn't as great as depending on who you talk to, who knows the story. But Lapu-Lapu, he defeated Magellan and got the Spaniards out of the Philippines. And so that's
he killed Magellan. Yes.
Yeah.
That's the guy.
Killed Magellan, but and then a fish
the hero.
After him. The hero of is he the hero of the Philippines?
He's a hero, yeah. Like I said, he's like kind of like he's like the Superman of the Philippines.
Like, so I gotta,
like in terms of like heroic, yeah, like historic heroic influences, yeah.
So I got an audition for that, and I'm like, oh look, my middle name is Filipino. I can do this. Like, you know, I put it on a wig, and they needed to like have your shirt off and all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, there's, you know, like it's okay. Like, why can't I do this? He's Filipino. I can channel in my Lapu-Lapu heritage. I didn't get it. Whatever, that's fine. None. But the one the most recent one was a Tagalog one, and I really thought, I'm like, all right, this is it. This is my chance. It's a nurse. So there's a show. Have you seen or watched New Amsterdam?
Yeah.
New Amsterdam. So the casting office there, Dave Capor Eliotis, they've sent me a lot of auditions for like the last 2 years, and nothing crazy, just like co-star roles. maybe a couple lines here, that sort of thing. And I've sent in like maybe six different auditions, different types. So the first thing was like a patient. The second was a nurse. It's like, all right, so maybe I got the nurse. They're helping, you know, I guess the diversity or just, you know, representation of what hospitals look like. There's Filipino people in hospitals. Cool, I'm Filipino, da-da-da. Then it's like, all right, I have some military background. They try to get me up for a role with a military veteran, that sort of thing. It didn't happen. I was doing some military stuff in Louisiana. So I had to say, hey, I'm sorry, even though they didn't release the role yet. And so they had me sending a self-tape prior to them actually sending the breakdown out. Then also an officer, I was like, all right, I got a shaved head. I look like a cop. Maybe, you know, somebody likes me in that office. It's so nice to keep sending me these auditions. Very thankful, very thankful. Most recently, I saw that New Amsterdam it's the final season.
Okay.
The final season, and then I see Nurse Olanto, and it says, must speak Tagalog. I'm like, all right. Nice. They're trying to get me on the show somehow, one way or the other, please. And I'm so happy. I'm so grateful. So I call my mom's up. I'm like, hey, mom, you know, I got this role. Help me with my Tagalog. And she just laughing throughout the whole self-tape. She's like, you sound so American. Like, no one's going to believe you're Filipino. Like, what are you doing? Like, you suck. Like, I mean, in so many words. Lo and behold, I sent it. I was like, all right, forget it, Ma. They said, oh, you can try for the different roles in it. I just tried for one because I couldn't do. I was saying for, like, how do you say new? Bagong, right? Bagong. And I kept saying Bagong.
Bagong is different.
So that's exactly what I was saying. I was saying bagoong like the whole time. Like, or she's like, it's not food. Like, what do you say? It's like, no. So,
bagoong is the friggin', like, it's our kimchi spice. Fish. Yeah, it's, you know, that like that fermented sauce. Fish yeah. sauce, that red purple stuff.
Oh, that's patis, right? No.
Not no, patis is the fish. It's the fish sauce. It's the yellow fish sauce.
Bagoong. Yeah, bagoong
is it's the fermented fish.
Oh, I don't know. I don't eat.
Yeah, it. It's a fermented fish. So it's our version of kimchi, basically.
Okay. I kept saying that. Her sister was there listening also. They keep cracking up on me. I send it in. I was like, all right, forget it. Lo and behold, another story where it's like, nope, didn't get it. But I was thankful for the experience and then just trying stuff in Tagalog and all that. But I don't know, like my mom, it's crazy because I got a breakdown for like non-union commercial for like someone of my mother's age, something elderly, you know, Asian, whatever, for Huggies. So I was like, hey, Ma, why don't you try to do this? Like, who cares? It's just sending a self-tape. My sister helped her record it. My sister just recently gave birth. We sent in some pictures, da da da. She goes, she sent in a self-tape. The first thing she ever auditioned for, she books.
Nice. Let's go.
That's so great. Yo, yeah. Dude, she got like 5K from the job. And
that's
then,
cool. That's your mama.
That's my mom. And I'm like, oh, man, she's like showing me up. And it was awesome because I thought, you know, sometimes things get cut. It doesn't always show up. Maybe, you know, it doesn't show up in there. She's as soon as you get into to the web commercial or whatever, she's the first thing and then she's the last thing. And then just like all my mom with her like Filipino, hey, John Peter, that sort of kind of accent sort of deal. And she was killing it. She's killing it. So she's doing much better than I. Much better.
It's all good, man. Maybe that's the caller. Maybe it's agent.
From the tree. So.
Hey. You get yours, man. You get yours.
That's right. You get yours. It all comes, right?
Yeah. It all
that's
comes, man.
Funny though. Aw.
And that's great that they kept like just giving you like chances. Like they really liked you.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, it's, you know, I don't get feedback from them or from my representation. They don't really say anything, but the fact that they hit me back and say, oh, let's see you for this. So I don't know if it's the casting office or if it's production or whoever, director. But I'm close. I'm always close.
Yeah.
So
sometimes it is just a production. Like sometimes it's just like they really want to use you, but like you know, like maybe arts department or something, like it really just always fits another person. I mean, sometimes it just happens. Yeah.
That's a great way to put myself to sleep at night. That's what I tell myself so I can sleep, even though it's probably
that's not your production. Like,
Yeah.
I mean, there are really bad actors who are famous simply because they fit whatever part.
Exactly.
Of it, you know,
They fit the part, the role, the fit. Like, it's just some people just, and it's not even, it's not even they had it. It's just like, no, they just like they found the right, like they were the right look for the right role at the exact right time.
Yo, but Filipino
it's
nurse,
yeah,
that's gotta be the right. That's gotta be the right.
It's coming though, like especially like I mean, you're in a great place in LA because like LA is like the whole cultural narrative is really shifting to Filipinos nowadays. Like,
is it?
Yeah, so you can really see a lot of, because like what had happened is everyone that was supposed to be a nurse this generation ended up like working for Hollywood, so now they're the writers. Like I know. Not a lot, but I know a good amount of like people within the industry, and like they're the ones producing, they're the ones writing for like larger networks now, and they're all Filipino, so they want to tell their own stories. Like look at Disney, like Disney in particular. I've known a couple of people that actually worked through there, not personally, unfortunately, or else like I'd be working more there. But like I've known them, and yeah, they're in the production departments, they're in casting now. And of course, they're just like, well, we want to tell our stories. So it is happening. You're in the right place. I think you're in the right place basically at the right moment. And now it's just finding the right role in the right time. So you're
good,
man.
That's good to hear. That's good to hear that. I don't know that a lot of creatives are out there. Oh, yeah.
Also, can I give like some encouragement as well too? Like you talked in the very beginning about the whole, like, you know, just want to put your nose to the grind. Yeah. I really would encourage. The reason you go to LA is for networking. So you got like, you got to go. I mean, I'm just using the metaphor. But also it could be literal, but you got to go golfing. Like, you know how like all the Hollywood stuff happens in like, you know, when you go out to golf and you go out and do social stuff, because that's where they start talking like business and what they're passionate about. And that's when you find out, oh, so-and-so has like, oh, he's working. That's all happened with me and Angela. Like we're on the podcast, and then like after the podcast, Angela just started talking about the film that they're shooting, and I just shot my shot. I was like, hey, Angela, if I go to New York, can I be an extra? And then she wrote us a part, me and Tessa, she wrote us a part in the actual film. But you need to be part of the conversation.
So how did you and Angela know each other prior to the film?
We have a mutual friend. Angela used to be a beauty queen.
No,
so. I know this. I've seen it. Yeah, I've seen it.
I had a friend that was in the same pageants, and then that's why I met Angela. And then my friend, as quirky as she is, volunteered me to drive her to the airport that next morning. And I was like, I don't freaking know this. So I drove her and was like, okay, we became friends. And then like pandemic hit. Yeah, and then like she started inviting me to all these like Zoom meetings. And then that's how we kind of got like closer as friends. And then that like what she told you about the podcast is literally like, I think we watched like Rise of Skywalker or something. Like we watched the Star Wars film, and then after the film she made everyone stay on for two more hours after the film, and the film's like 2.5 hours already. So at the very end of like that whole like 2 hour conversation, I was like, Angela, you need to make a podcast, because you keep talking, you make people talk for long. It's like, we should have been recording this. This could have been content. Mm-hmm. But I mean, just going back, like super encouraged, like get out there. I mean, I've got like, I'll shout them out even on this podcast for your benefit. Like there's Philam Creatives Talent Network. So that's the Philam Network. They're doing stuff all the time. The Facebook group, always talking about like different projects, and you can always just jump in.
I'm also shy. Part of,
yeah,
I'm shy KP.
You can't be totally shy. Like you can be shy, but you also have to do the work. And I feel like that's part of the work that's the work that literally you left the East Coast to go to. This is the work is gotta network. You gotta just like, I would even like, networking is such a dirty word. In the mindset of just like, you just need to meet people and make friends. And then those friends, if they're like of like-minded, like you'll start sharing. I mean, that's how a lot of like, look at like some of the people that are successful. I listen to like Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. Like if you, and he talks a lot about like his early days. Like one of his early days was he was just like, he just made friends with people when he was doing improv. Like he would just do an improv group. And one of his friends was Lisa Kudrow. And if you think of it now, it's like freaking Conan O'Brien's huge. Lisa Kudrow's huge. Yeah, but like before they were like, they're all broke ass friends just trying to make it in the industry. But now they're all famous because they all work together.
Right. Yeah. And I think organically meeting people through projects or through things that I already am involved in. Whereas I feel like for my personal style, like injecting myself into a golf course or just frequenting a bar because I know people are there, that's not my style. Like
I get that.
Like I can understand people who do it. I'm not disrespecting anybody that does it. It's just me. It feels too inauthentic, and I don't know. I feel like there's too much. I'm more than willing to give and volunteer projects, work for free, all that, no problem. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to feel like I'm asking or like being a bother. Yeah. It's just
I feel like what I'll do, and like I don't necessarily have a friend group that are all like a creative, but I have a lot of like friends that do different things. So if I'm working on a I'm working on a project now, and I just hit up like a bunch of friends like in different states. I was like, hey, can you help me with this when I visit? Can you help me with this when I visit? You do that, like, and so it's like, it's not even, I think a lot of it is like, if you are, because I'm kind of with you, like I'm not the type of person where I'll go like someplace just to network or just to do that. It's just kind of not my vibe either. But what I'll do is like, I like working on projects, and like I like making my, I like staying busy, so like I'll make my own projects, and then I'll like try to pull in my friends, and if they, and there's been times where they've suggested other people to me. And I'm like, okay, cool. So like, this is a way that it's like, it's benefiting me, and it's also benefiting other people because they get to work on this, in a way that still like allows like collaboration and, right, and networking and growth. But again, with that, it's like, you have to like be doing your own projects. You have to kind of like set that bar, and you have to be the one that's like reaching out then. It's just in a different way.
Yeah. You don't have to go golfing. Like I said, this is a metaphor, but definitely find your tribe, bro. Find your tribe. And don't be afraid to like, if something feels like kind of good, don't be afraid to just like, okay, let me just jump in. So I don't know what your tribe is. I don't know. Like even just like hobbyist things, you'd be surprised like the people that you'll find doing those things.
And Angela, yeah, what's your tribe like in Pennsylvania? How's your Pennsylvania tribe?
You're in Pennsylvania now?
Her Amish tribe? No.
Oh, I didn't know you were in PA. I thought you were still in New York.
Yeah, I'm running from the law. Changing my name.
She abandoned us.
Oh my.
No, but I remember you ride a motorcycle, right? So like my brother, he also rides a motorcycle, and he's always doing like these like group rides,
where
he rides with like a bunch of people. I don't know if that's something you can do in LA, maybe.
Yeah, it's something I considered. I belong to a couple of organizations that I was in New York, but I could just get lost in these sort of things. Like if I started in LA, like it's just like, oh man, then I'm gonna show up and then I'm gonna chill and then I'm gonna, I don't know. It just seems like a Pandora's box or a rabbit hole that I don't want to go down. I don't know. I haven't found a way to be able to, I wouldn't say balance, but I guess balance and be able to socialize while still being able to push my work forward. So I need to get to a place where I'm consistent with what I'm doing, where I could add new things and feel okay, feel guilty, won't feel guilty like hanging out or going on a ride or golfing or anything of that nature. You know, I'm just not at that stage yet, but no,
on the golf. You don't have to golf, Rhoda.
So then when you're not like auditioning or doing creative things, like what do you fill your day with then if you're not hanging out with people?
So I'm lame. Like I'll read, I'm trying to do anything self-help. I'm trying to market. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to, you know, I'm trying to, that's it. Just trying to figure out any and other ways. And then obviously the classes kind of fill my schedule, but and then it's mm-hmm. like, all right, where can I else market myself, or what do I need to change on my reel, or what's next, or who do I need to send cold emails to? So I think I can already get lost in the fact of just trying to be an actor, just even trying to be right. a writer, that in and of itself, there's so many different things to do or that can be done. It's like to add something else, but obviously I want to be a person, right? I want to talk to people on social.
I've temporarily forgot about that you are in college. Like, I wonder, like, have you tried joining any just like clubs and stuff there? Like, those are great places to network.
Well, it's a little bit different because this is like post-grad. So this is UCLA Extension. So this is not like a master's. So I did my bachelor's and I did my master's, but this is just a certificate program.
Okay.
So it's not exactly a social sort of thing. But but I joined Veterans in Media and Entertainment, and then they also have their weekly meetings and things of that nature. It's just so much. There's so much to do. There's like so little time in this world.
I get it.
I got you. Yeah, I understand.
You want to stay disciplined. You don't want to feel like you're wasting time. And that's kind of like also the reason why I moved out of New York, because well, one thing, New York is really expensive, but I feel like if I have the temptation, like I know I can just hit someone up, it would take away, like I could be writing at this time, or I could
right.
that, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I'm at a place in my career. So, you know, I deployed with the military for about a year, and, you know, it's a great experience, and I was very honored to be able to do something like that. And if I can't do that for myself, where again, you're away from friends, you're away from family, you're away from everything, just doing a job overseas, right? And if I can't do that for myself, or because, you know, we work for other corporations, we work for other jobs, we work for all these other things, and we give our time and ourselves to these jobs and these obligations. And if I can't do that for me without any, for myself, then why? Well, I can't do a year where I'm socially distanced from everybody and mm-hmm. I'm just keeping my head down and I'm not doing anything, not talking to anybody, because I've done it before to help something else. But why can't I do that for myself and just see where it goes? Because there's so many things I feel that I'm missing that I'm not tapping into. It's like, all right, I could still do that. I haven't felt at a place where I've given 100% by my definition into acting, where I could say, oh, okay, I tried everything that I think I want to try to do. Now I'm at a place where, okay, I'm steady. I can continue doing what I think I'm doing. But I always feel like, oh, but I didn't read that book, and I know that book might help me, or I didn't take that class, or I should have updated my reel. Why am I not doing that? But and then it's also into this whole culture, this always trying to be productive, and it's like, oh, you still got to enjoy life. So I don't know. It's so complicated.
I think especially in the entertainment industry, I totally see, like, I definitely see your side and like why it makes sense and like why you want to do that. Like, you moved out there to act, like you want to give it your best shot, things like that. And I totally understand and respect that. But when you're talking about, you brought something up about like the culture, I really think that we're in a set of time where we're slowly moving out of hustle culture in general. Like,
I think so.
Yeah. Like, and not in like jobs and stuff. Like, you see a lot more people and like even jobs and stuff like promoting like mental health awareness and like taking your vacation, like things like they're really implementing like that in terms of things like that. So I don't know how that's necessarily going to affect like entertainment industry or people who are like, especially if you're an actor, you're self-employed in some aspect, however that is, you're a self-employed actor. So I don't know. I think definitely with acting and anything in the arts, it's something that you really have to be rigorous with and be structured out, because it's like, it's not guaranteed. Like if you go to, like if you're a doctor or something, you go to medical school, you pass your boards, all that stuff, you're pretty much guaranteed to be a doctor, right? Like you're, same thing with like a lawyer, you're almost guaranteed to like do that. But like with acting, it's not like that. You kind of do have to give like all of yourself to the arts. But I don't know. I think that it is just something to keep in mind, especially when you are like collaborating and having conversations with other artists, is it's like, I identify myself as an artist as opposed to a creative. And I think there is like a slight difference with that, because I've noticed, like, I don't really have that. I did a very rigorous, like, acting program in college, and I've been, like, acting since I was little and doing things in various things. And I do mainly voiceover work now, but I still love film, theater, TV, all that stuff. But I noticed that it's just, I'm not as, like, when I was 18, I was like, I have to do this or I'm going to die, basically. Like, I have to work, like, to this velocity or I'm going to die. And I know I'm so much happier now just knowing that I'm giving, like, as much as I can of me whatever day is here and, like, not getting burnt out. Like, not being like, why am I doing that? Because it's, like, it's preventing me from being like, why am I doing this? Like, it's not going to go anywhere, da, 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 da. It's just, like, me knowing that, like, I have tomorrow to do this. I can always do this. And we're all Filipino. We're all going to look young for a while. So, so I mean, I admire it, and I totally see where you're going with. And a lot of times, like, sometimes I'll get in my head about that, too. I'll be like, you know, I just need to be doing more things like that. But I think you are doing so much. And I do think that humans are people of community, especially actors are people of community. So I get the dedication 100%. I would just say, be careful, be aware of closing yourself off to other people and other opportunities because you're so focused. I'm just saying, like, don't get in a little bubble where you can't see outside of it. That's my
right,
thing.
Right, right. No. I thank you for that. I appreciate that. I don't think I might be misrepresenting myself. So if I hit it off with people or there is something, I will still make sure I'm available. It's not like I'm a jerk or I'm just like, all right, later. I'm doing my acting thing. I'm sorry. Don't talk to me. Like, I'm in my process, or like, no, I have to go study. So I'm not that lame. Maybe in some aspects, sometimes it happens, but generally speaking, I'm open to people because I just love, even just in general, talking to people or hearing their story or what they're doing in their lives, not only informs me as an actor, but just as a person. Like, I love talking to people and hearing their story and things that they do with their life in that sense. But generally speaking, I'm not out there, like, I guess in contrast is because I used to always be social and be out all the time. So I'm comparing it to that, where it's like, I'm always trying to be in a mix and chill and that sort of deal. So in contrast to that, I'm not doing that as much, but yeah, people don't chill out, chill out, chill. I made one friend from a play that I was in with here recently. He's cool. He's holding me down. He's a actor as well. And able to shoot and like, guess shoot the breeze and vent and talk about, so yeah and collaborate and all that good stuff. So I'm getting there. I appreciate it.
No, of course. And obviously this is all unsolicited, so no, disregard everything I said.
No, I love it. If that's not what I'm giving up, I'll receive what y'all have to give. Absolutely, always.
You know who else would have been a really great nurse in Adam Driver. Nah.
We never answer our questions.
He would have been the most awkward nurse, to be honest. Like, imagine this, like, 6 foot tall. Like,
I'm here to take your blood now.
He gets angry and, like, throw stuff.